From KMXT in Kodiak, this is the Alaska Fisheries Report. I'm Jay Barrett. Coming up this week, two crews are safe after their fishing vessels meet their fate from beneath them in the past week. We have king salmon news from the upper Yukon and chum salmon news from the lower river. And there's more coming up on the Alaska Fisheries Report.
The Alaska Fisheries Report is brought to you in part by AK Teach, now enrolling K-12 homeschool students throughout the state of Alaska, creating partnerships that are flexible, family-friendly, and unique to your child. More information is available at AK Teach or at 907-942-0667.
The commercial herring fishery is on hold in Unalaska, because nobody can find the fish. The herring season opened more than a week ago, but so far fishermen haven't had any luck, even with a spotter pilot searching from above. Frank Kelty on KUCB's Unalaska Fisheries Report said the fish appear to be well offshore and in very deep water where the seiners can't get to them. He added that three or four seiners are registered to fish this season, while no one has registered to use gillnet gear. If the herring show up, Dutch Harbor fishermen will be able to harvest 2,166 tons, but until then, the seiners are on standby. Lisa Fox, the area management biologist for Fish and Game in Sand Point, said she thinks everyone has decided to just take a break for now and come back after the salmon season dies down. Yukon River Chinook Salmon Run is expected to meet a Canadian escapement objective this year. Passage at a state-run sonar counter at Eagle tallied over 36,000 Chinook as of Monday last week, which is above average for the date. Fish and Game summer season Yukon Area Management biologist Holly Carroll says the count is on track to meet a treaty goal for Chinook passage into Canada.
Our minimum border escapement objective is 42,500, but really we need to get more than that across the border, because we do need to allow for some catch in Canada as well.
It's the second summer in a row that the Yukon Chinook return has shown some rebound amidst a many-year slump. Carroll says this season has been managed to meet escapement goals in Alaska and Canada, as well as provide some opportunity for subsistence Chinook harvest, compared to recent years when fishing was severely limited in an attempt to rebuild the run.
We've more than doubled the harvest opportunity, and we hope that people have been able to about double their harvest from last year, but of course we won't know that until well after the season ends.
Last week, the state extended a previously scheduled 3-plus-day harvest opening in District 5D from the Yukon Flats to Circle and Eagle, an area where Carroll says managers are generally more cautious.
Because almost 100% of the fish passing through there are Canadian-bound kings, but they should have a better opportunity to meet their subsistence needs for king salmon up there.
Carroll says fishing is allowed with wheels and gill nets with 6-inch or smaller mesh. The mesh restriction is aimed at limiting the catch to the smaller male fish, allowing the larger female king salmon to pass upstream to spawn. The midpoint of the run past Eagle was expected to have passed last Thursday. Meanwhile, far downriver, the first commercial fishing opening for fall chum started last week for Marshall and Russian Mission on the lower Yukon River, but there's still no solution found for the village's broken ice machines. KYUK's Anna Rose MacArthur tells us more.
Marshall's Massarkulik Native Corporation owns the machine, but has made no effort to fix it since the compressor quit working 2 weeks ago. Replacing the part would cost $15,000. Boreal Fisheries can buy the chum, but only with the right ice. Owners Randy and Edna Crawford won't send a boat to pick up the fish unless it's in flake ice, which fishermen can't make at home and which Edna calls a necessary industry standard.
It has to be flake ice. That's the only way you're going to keep the temperature of the fish down, especially with the weather that we've had over here.
Without ice, fishermen face a tough decision. Don't fish, or boat 60 miles and back to get ice from Boreal. Since the machine broke, Marshall commercial fisherman Leonard Fitka Sr. has missed two fishing openings. He's been boating the 4.5 hours to fetch ice and fears it's unsustainable.
Fishermen are working harder, staying up longer, more time away from family, hurting the economies.
Fishermen in Russian Mission travel even further for ice. Myron Edwards, a commercial fisherman there, says with gas over $4 a gallon, he wouldn't make a profit, and he doesn't know when he's going to fish next. The Crawfords, who own Boreal, have known the commercial fishermen in Marshall and Russian Mission for decades, and they've built a close relationship. Boreal has provided free labor multiple times a summer to fix their ice machine. Last year, the Crawfords donated a generator. They run a small operation, and Randy Crawford says they've done all they can.
Ben and I are just really frustrated because we have put so much effort into it, and we can give no more.
Boreal pays $400,000 a year to Marshall fishermen. Randy says it's an important part of the Marshall economy, and he wants Massarcoolock to invest in its community. The Massarcoolock CEO and board members did not respond to KYUK's emails asking them about the ice machine. In Bethel, I'm Anna Rose MacArthur.
The Alaska Fisheries Report is brought to you in part by United Fishermen of Alaska, working to promote and protect Alaska's commercial fishing industry. Fisheries are a vital component of Alaska's social and economic well-being. You'll find member information and more at ufafish.org.
Several Good Samaritan vessels came to the aid of 46 crew members from a factory trawler that started taking on water Wednesday in the Bering Sea near Kiska. The Alaska Juris crew donned survival suits and abandoned ship when water started filling the engine room and could not be stopped. There were no reports of injuries. Of those on board, 28 were recovered from two life rafts by the Norwegian-flagged bulk cargo carrier Spar Canis. The survivors had secured the two life rafts to the Alaska Juris to keep from drifting, while the third life raft could not secure a line and drifted a short distance away. The 18 occupants of the third raft were picked up by the German-flagged container vessel Vienna Express. The Sea Fisher and Ocean Peace also diverted to assist. Coast Guard 17th District Watchstanders received an EPIRB alert from the 238-foot-long, 611-ton Alaska Juris around 11:30 Tuesday morning and contacted the crew directly to confirm that they were in distress, donning survival suits and abandoning ship. Meanwhile, four crew members escaped safely when their fishing boat rolled near the Alaska Peninsula on Friday last week. U.S. Coast Guard Petty Officer Kelly Parker in Kodiak explains.
So just before 8 p.m. this past Friday, our district watchstanders received an EPIRB alert of a 41-foot fishing vessel, Carmelina, located approximately 35 nautical miles west of Kodiak Island. The vessel had capsized with four people on board. The crew of the Good Samaritan fishing vessel, Spartan, recovered all four people from the Carmelina, and all survivors reported in good condition.
The Carmelina is owned by Willie Creamer of Homer, according to the state's commercial fisheries database. Parker said the Carmelina remains capsized as of press time, with its seine net anchoring it to some rocks in Jute Bay. Parker said a Coast Guard overflight did not spot any pollution in the water around the Carmelina. He said the cause of the capsizing is still unreported, and the Coast Guard is broadcasting a notice to mariners to be aware of the potential hazard to navigation.
Support for the Alaska Fisheries Report comes from the Alaska Seafood Marketing Institute, working to raise the value of our seafood harvest for the benefit of all Alaskans. On the web at alaskaseafood.org.
Seabright Seafoods is a true small business. It's a direct sales operation run by owners Diana Garfield Robinson and Brent Robinson. The Ketchikan business recently was chosen as a finalist for Path to Prosperity, a Southeast Alaska small business competition. KRBD's Layla Carey met Diana Robinson at the couple's boat to talk about Seabright Seafoods and what they hope to get out of the Path to Prosperity program.
So this is our funny little fishing boat, the mighty fishing vessel Seabright. She's a 22-foot seabird.
When not out to sea with Brent Robinson hand trolling from the deck, the mighty Seabright is docked at Refuge Cove Marina. The boat is the core of the business. Diana Robinson says they catch fish and then sell them fresh off the deck.
Well, I'll put it on Facebook when we come in and people can come down and just buy fish right off the boat. They're whole, gutted, gilled. We can't do any processing.
Recently, though, Seabright has been carefully expanding its market into the lower 48, sending some of its catch to businesses that want to sell traceable fish.
There's a nonprofit called Future of Fish, which has identified traceability as one of the two key ways to really fight overfishing and poor fishing and human labor practices on a global scale. So we are trying to tap into a tiny, tiny, tiny little piece of that idea by marketing really supply chain transparent fish to businesses that share that value.
Robinson says she works with traceable seafood distributors in California and New York to find those customers. She's hoping that the Path to Prosperity program can help expand their market a little more. As a Path to Prosperity finalist, Robinson will get some advice and mentoring through a business boot camp with other finalists in Juneau this fall. In February, Path to Prosperity winners will be announced, and those two small businesses will receive $40,000 each. Robinson says winning the competition would be significant for Seabright.
We've bootstrapped our business. It's all self-funded. So there's a little bit of debt and, maybe looking at a boat upgrade and then maybe looking at some real scientific market research.
Robinson says she and her husband don't want to become a large business, maybe one or two employees at some point, but no bigger than that. However, she would like to connect other commercial fishermen to the traceable fish market.
I really don't see it as a space of competition. I see it as a space where the more people doing this kind of work, the better it's going to be for all of us, because the more people are going to be hearing fishers talk about what they do, understanding the idea of traceable local seafood, asking about the sourcing of their seafood when they're out at dinner or when they're at a grocery store.
As you may have guessed, sustainable fishing is important to Robinson, who grew up on an oyster farm on the East Coast.
I love the water, I love the oceans, I love seafood, and anything I can do to be a part of making all of that continue for generations to come, I think is a win.
Robinson says it was mind-blowing to be chosen as a Path to Prosperity finalist because Seabright is such a tiny business. But she says their vision is big, and with a little help from the program, she hopes to turn that vision into reality. Reporting in Ketchikan, I'm Layla Carey.
The annual Path to Prosperity competition is a partnership between the Ha'anai Community Development Fund and the Nature Conservancy.
The Alaska Fisheries Report is brought to you in part by Alaska Boats and Permits, marine broker for vessels, permits, and IFQs. 1-800-992-4960 or online at alaskaboat.com.
And that's all for this week's Alaska Fisheries Report. Thanks to KMXT's Kayla DeRoche for sitting in while I was away for a few weeks. We had help with this edition from KUCB's Laura Craigle in Unalaska, KUAC's Dan Bross in Fairbanks, KYUK's Anna Rose MacArthur in Bethel, and KRBD's Layla Carey in Ketchikan. From KMXT in Kodiak, I'm Jay Barrett.